Hi, I'm Scott Webster with Android Guys, and you're listening to the Android Guys podcast. What you'll hear today is an interview we did recently with House of Marley. One of our writers, Andrew Allen, had a chance to sit down and speak with Josh Polson. He's the Director of Product Development at House of Marley. What you'll hear is about 30 minutes of company insight, some background on the philosophy behind House of Marley, the materials that they use for their products, and a little bit more.
Every other conference call. So without further ado, Andrew, I wanted to introduce you to Josh Polson. He's the Director of Product Development at House of Marley. Obviously, I've given you a quick rundown on him and his role and how long he's been at the company. And I've also shared with Josh some of the questions that you were very kind to sort of outline for us. So Josh is sort of has got a good steer on where you want to go with this interview over the next sort of 50 minutes or so. I also want to let you know that Miki Barr and Christelle Cruz are on the phone as well. They're on the marketing and brand side. They're based in Los Angeles. Josh is in Utah.
Okay.
And so while the interview will primarily be with Josh, Miki and Christelle are on the line as well, so they can handle any marketing-specific questions that you might have. Even though I know the bulk of the interview is going to be more around the technology, the materials, and the sustainability factor. So
yeah.
We'll sort of fade to black now, and then I'll let you get going with Josh. Any questions before we start, or does that sound good?
No, I think that's perfect.
Perfect. All right, great. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Andrew.
Hey, it's
a pleasure to meet you, Andrew.
Hey, you too, Josh. So I guess I'll start with just the overall question of, you know, how did House of Marley come about? And, you know, I feel like the Marley family is always tied back to Bob in some way. So did he have a huge influence on the company, or, you know, just where you guys get a start at?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely takes us back to the roots of Bob Marley and what he really stood for, in his ethos. And, you know, he was really into taking care of the planet. And treating people with one love and respect. So, you know, we kind of built our company around that ethos, always thinking about that philanthropy, giving back, the sustainability of our materials and our products, and really, you know, about, you know, making sure people really enjoy using our products, because that's what it's about, enjoying music and enjoying life.
Yeah. You said something about philanthropy. Do you feel like, you know, the sustainability, is that a bigger part of the model than it is financial for you guys? I mean, I know there's a balance there that you want to strike, but do you think consumers are interested in the sustainability as a selling point?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And obviously, you know, we're in business, and you also have to, you know, make a profit to be able to continue to do more philanthropy and do more. You know, it's an interesting question. I think consumers, when they have a choice, especially today's youth and the millennial group growing up, I think they're more in tune with what's going on with our earth and oceans and global warming. I think absolutely a consumer, if they have a choice, they're going to prefer a sustainable brand. One of the things that we need to do better, and I appreciate your time so you can tell our story as well, is when people hear about what we stand for and what we do, they're taken back, and they mix that with the beauty of our products and the quality of our products. They're you know, just so excited to hear about it. So absolutely, I do think consumers do have a choice, and we do, you know, invest more money. Our profit margins aren't what other companies would be because we're putting more effort into being sustainable.
Yeah. So let's go back to those materials a little bit, and if you could talk about how those are sourced and maybe elaborate on the FSC that you guys are certified through, and tell us a little bit more of that.
Yeah, of course, for FSC certified wood we use in our products, we align with FSC certified, you know, factories and FSC certified suppliers. And we are a licensee of the Forest Stewardship Council, so we have the ability to, you know, use their trademarks. we pay into that, and we have to abide by the rules. And so what we do is we want to use wood in our products, beautiful material, but we want to make sure they come from responsibly forested sources. And so we basically have to chase through the chain of custody back to the forest where the wood comes from. And everybody who touches that wood has to be certified by FSC. And they have an annual audit that they participate in. And we actually, will actually pay our vendors certification costs and help our supply chain be FSC certified through the process if we can't find one who is. So yeah, we handhold all the way through from the forest all the way to the finished good, actually put a symbol on our packaging to put our product out at retail to let the customers know that we have FSC certified wood in our products.
Okay, and yeah, the finished product it's stunning. I have to say, some of the stuff that you guys sent by to take a look at and take some photos of for this piece it's really striking on the quality that you guys put into the product. And you seem to you use cork a lot, it seems like. Is there a design decision or an audio decision that presents that as an option for you guys as a material, or is that just a aesthetic?
Great question. I think all of the above are true. I have a passion for materials myself, and everybody in our team as well, and we constantly do, seek out new materials, and about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I wanted to look into cork and saw cork as a trend actually in consumer goods, a lot of household goods. It's been used, way back in history, right, as a cork for a wine bottle. It's got some amazing properties. So, in investigating materials, we don't always look just at the actual beauty or the aesthetic of the material. We look at the properties the material has and how can we use those properties to enhance the product experience and consumer's experience. So cork is great because it's an amazing insulator. It's a dampener. It's vibration resistant. So we found a way to use cork in a very sustainable way. So we're actually not using virgin cork from the forests in Portugal and in Spain, where most of the world's Class A cork comes from, the good quality cork they use for cork or wine bottles. We use a product called agglomerated cork, and it comes from a lot of the Asian cork trees, which have a lot more inclusions in them and defects. And so what they do is they grind up that cork and as well as the scraps from building cork. For wine bottles, and we actually take that agglomerated cork and compression mold it with a binder into a very solid and dimensionally stable product that we can use. And we've used it as the base of our speakers in replace of silicone for vibration dampening. We've also used some of the back of the housings of our new No Bounce speaker line. Not only does it protect the speaker from drops and impacts, it also does some vibration dampening in the enclosure, so it does help impact the acoustic quality.
Yeah, I'm not an audiophile I'm not an audiophile by any means, yeah. But that portable speaker with the cork bottom, it just really has a good sound. I was pleasantly surprised by that with the cork. That's one of the reasons I wanted to ask that question.
So it's a great material, and it's also buoyant, so it also helps in our waterproof speakers. If we design them to float, so they don't sink to the bottom, you can retrieve them easily. The cork also helps in that respect as well.
Interesting. Okay. And we've kind of danced around it, but could you talk about maybe how a product starts from an idea and what that journey looks like to the finished goods that the consumer sees?
Sure. It could be a very long-winded question, but I'll try to answer it
brief. It's a pretty general question.
I make an analogy. It's like making a baby, right? Giving birth to a baby, and we really treat that with the respect of bringing a child into the world, right? But it starts out with really any idea. We look at problems in consumer space. We look at things that other products in the market aren't doing well. We also look at, opportunities we see for business, and we create these ideas for products. Could be a new technology platform that comes to market that we need, True Wireless. We really, bring our ideas from many different sources, custom from consumers, feedback from our own ideas from sales, and we basically take those ideas and we basically brief them and create a multi-page document that basically spells out, what we want this product to be. And then that kind of defines for us some guidelines around design. And then we get our creative minds, either internal or external. We do use some external design firms from time to time. And we brief this product out to them, and they start the creative pieces flowing and start sketching and drawing up beautiful form factors around using our materials as guidelines to create the product. And then from that design, we look at, the mechanical engineering side of it, acoustical design, electrical design, and we make sure that the design form factor and shape will work for all those aspects. And then we go into the heavy engineering side, engineer the product from the inside out, and make sure that everything is good for quality product, design with quality in mind, sustainability in mind, and good sound. And then we obviously prototype. Many rounds of prototyping happen. The first, rounds are from 3D printed samples, and then we go into more CNC machined parts that are made from the actual materials we use.
Mm-hmm.
That, the materials, influence how a product sounds, and we want to make sure, before we invest in production tooling that we're doing our due diligence and making sure we know what the product will sound like using the materials that we use. And from that, we work with our partners overseas who have the same mindset around sustainability that we do, and we get them tooled up, and we'll go through that typical development phase of once the tooling is complete, we do a sample round, an engineering validation, and then a design validation round, and go into a pre-production round. And every time we do that, we do a lot of field testing and reliability testing on the products to make sure that they withstand our criteria, and then into mass production and launch the product with partnership with the marketing team and making sure that the story is told well. So when the product hits the shelf, consumers know what it's about and know where to get it. So it's a very long process. Some projects can take up to 2 years. Some projects are fast, and we can get them done in as quick as 8 months. But it depends on the complexity and obviously the resources we need to put in.
Yeah, I just envision that pre-production phase of just a room full of people trying out headphones and listening to good music.
Yeah. a lot of audio testing, a lot of critical listening goes into it, which is it's the fun part.
So during that journey, do you guys, are there any source materials that maybe you just didn't go with in the past that just didn't work out for you guys? Or are there new materials in the pipeline that you guys are looking to try this coming year?
We're always looking to find new sustainable materials and I tend to gravitate towards organic or living materials, what I like to call them, is wood or bamboo or cork are good examples. We're doing a lot of research in some new fields of growing parts into or basically, not to get into too much detail, but I want to start looking at a way for us to be more sustainable by using organic materials and less materials that are limited resources on Earth, so anything that can grow into a finished good. I can't get into too much detail, but there's cool things happening. They're probably years off from actually being production ready, but yes, we are investigating and always looking at finding new cool materials. Another area is stone. You know, they're beautiful, you know, stone and natural materials that are plentiful, that we can put in our products in unique ways. Obviously, you know, stone being heavy wouldn't be, you know, primarily used on an earbud or something like a headphone maybe. But, you know, as we look at expanding our home audio products, you know, we want to start using some more beautiful materials that really resonate with consumer, speak to, you know, interior design and fashion, and also to the sustainable aspect. And also, you know, being a great platform or foundation to build a product off, you know, you always want to build your house on stone, right?
Right, right.
So that's a cool, cool material to start investigating with.
What about the non-natural materials you guys are using? So,
yeah.
I mean, you're using aluminum and some plastics, and there's obviously some fibers on the headphones and that kind of stuff. I assume you have a channel to get those through recycled means as much as possible?
Yeah, so we obviously, you know, can't avoid some materials like plastics, and, you know, what we try to do is use as much recycled content as we can in those. Obviously, we have to keep the quality in mind, the structural integrity in mind. One of the things that plastic, inherently, the problem with plastic has is if you heat it up and remold it into another part, it goes through thermal degradation, and so it can actually make a part structurally weak. And so we use as much as we can as far as recycled content in the housings, and we have to do testing to determine what that content is per piece. But typically we use as much, we call it regrind. It's an industry term for basically taking post-industrial waste. Basically, it's the scrap from our own production. And we reuse that with a combination of the virgin materials. And we use the highest percentage we can with structural integrity. And then on our fibers or fabrics that we use, we call them rewind fabric is our term. And we're basically taking reclaimed fibers from the clothing or basically the fabric that isn't, you know, when you cut and sew something, there's always scrap.
Mm-hmm.
We take that scrap that can't be used into something else, and we thrash it back into fiber and blend it with water bottles. So we use reclaimed hemp and cotton, organic cotton, and then we mix that with a water bottle PET fiber. So it's becoming from recycled water bottles, and we weave that back into a fabric called rewind.
Interesting.
And we blend that, you know, in different ways depending on the use case of the product.
So that's kind of an alternative to truly synthetic nylon. Is that what you're going for there?
Correct. Yeah. So it's really a lot of recycled material mixed with reclaimed fiber. So we try not to use as much virgin material as we can. We reclaim the post-industrial waste. And regrind silicone is another one that we kind of innovated around. You know, I've seen it used before, but we really wanted to find a way to... silicone is an inert material. It's a great material for the environment. You know, mostly hypoallergenic. You know, people don't have a problem with silicone, and you want to get in the environment that tends not to contaminate the environment. So silicone is a great material, but it can't be remelted. It's a thermoset material, so it doesn't melt unless it's, you know, at very high temperature. So we found a way to take our scrap from our silicone ear gels and some of the housings, and we took that scrap and we grind it back down into a very small particulate, and we mix that at about a 25% ratio with regular silicone. And so we're using less raw material, and we're using our scrap that otherwise would go into the landfill. So we try to use our waste materials as much as possible back into the product in a way that the consumer, one, can understand. You know, what's cool about regrind silicone is that, you know, we change the color of the particle. It's noticeable, and it looks kind of like granite or a stone material. And you can tell it's recycled, and it creates a tactile feel and a good look. And we really like to, you know, embrace the imperfection, I would say, in that every piece is different, right?
Gives you a trademark a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you can't announce, you know, new products here. I'm not asking for your roadmap, but What do you think the future of House of Marley looks like? And I don't know, what's success look for you guys short term and long term?
Yeah, obviously we're keeping eye on technology trends, and so we're not ignoring those. And so we do have some new products in the pipeline that will be announced at CES. That have to do with up and coming or very relevant technologies. We do have plans for expanding into some of these technologies you'll see becoming mainstream, like voice or truly wireless. So can't speak too many details, but yes, we are keeping on the technology trend. Long-term goal, I think we want to continue, never forget who we are and where we came from, making sure we never forget the sustainable aspects will always be innovated. I think, one of the things that, I would love to be able to say at one point is a product is 100% sustainable, but obviously that's, I don't think any product on the market is, even the single-use spoons and things like that people have, they can be recycled or composted, but, it means they have to go through a process to do that. It's really up to the consumer to make sure the consumer gets the product into the appropriate recycle stream, right?
Right.
We want to, be part of that. And so there's, I'd love to, in the near future say that we are reclaiming our own products and reusing the materials in them to create new ones. So that's kind of where I see us going from a sustainable aspect further. Obviously, that's very complex problem to solve.
Right.
But it's something that I would love to say we can achieve. That's kind of the future of sustainability for me is continuing innovative materials and be able to do what I call cradle to cradle, or taking back our waste and reusing it.
Well, how about your current lineup? I don't need exact numbers or anything, but how much do you think is in a percentage? How much is sustainable products and materials versus new materials?
Yeah, it's varies between products. It's kind of hard to say, but I would I'd estimate on products that have a larger portion of wood and rewind fabric, I'd say somewhere in the realm of 30-50%. And on it, and that's being conservative because obviously I need to run the numbers on each one.
Yeah, that's still impressive.
Yeah.
And I guess on that future lineup, I assume with the somewhat of the death of the 3.5 millimeter jack for audio, are you guys exploring USB-C?
Yeah, good question. We have decided to move to USB-C charging in all of our future products, so that's the first step. I'd be probably happy to get into that. And that allows us to also explore the ability to use that same USB-C connector for data and audio. So, yes, I'd say we are exploring that. Yeah,
I think everybody's jumping on the wireless bandwagon, but it would be nice to see a truly audio company come out of USB-C headphone. That'd be nice to see.
It's interesting, though. I think one of the industries that seems to be behind the biggest to me is the airline industry. You're on the plane, you want to use their entertainment system with your own headphone, you need a 3.5 jack, and I think that's kind of the linchpin at the moment. But we can create a USB-C to 3.5 cable.
Yeah,
they can still track, or at least an adapter, and they can plug a USB-C into a 3.5.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I guess, like you said, the charging solution is the easier one. With as long as you have USB on one side, most airlines can have that available, but not the audio. That's an interesting.
They have a USB-A cable, right? Sometimes you can access their entertainment system through that, but I don't think it feeds audio out. It feeds audio in.
Yeah.
They're a little behind on that.
And I think I know the answer to this one, since we've talked now for 30 minutes or so on sustainable products, but Do they think a corporation has, I don't know, a global responsibility to research sustainable products and to continue this line of thought through their products?
Yeah, absolutely believe that should be the way all companies should operate. I know there's a couple very large companies that are leading the way and doing more than their fair share, which is a good, to me, it's good leadership, right? And we want to be equally as sustainable. And we're, you know, we're very small, right, in the scheme of audio brands or electronic brands, but you know, I believe any little bit we can do is making a good impression and also setting the standard. I do believe it should be, you know, regulated. And, you know, I think that's actually happening in parts of Europe. And a lot of the retailers, brick-and-mortar retailers, are starting to start the change in their own supply chain. And so, yeah, I think you'll see some regulation happening in the next, like, 10 years. And, you know, I think, you know, we're on the bandwagon already. So absolutely believe it's important for a corporation to be sustainable.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the U.S. is always a step or two behind some of the European nations on the regulation you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We might take a step back, but hopefully two steps forward in the future.
Yeah, we'll keep it hopeful. Kind of on that same note, so do you guys make efforts to give back and reforestry efforts or anything of that nature?
Yeah. And I think you're aware we aligned ourselves with One Tree Planted in our give back, our philanthropy. We wanted a cause that the consumer could understand, and it's traceable, right? You know, we had charity since the beginning, but it, you know, that story was always different, and it was hard to tell to the consumer. You know, so we aligned with One Tree Planted, and so now we're planting trees and reforesting and giving back to the material that we are taking from. So, you know, I think the plan, I think by January, we'll have planted 146,000 trees globally. You know, we plant in many different areas of the world. One Tree Planted is kind of the one who does the planting for us. But we can kind of work with them and work on projects, you know. And, you know, I think today we planted about 75,000 trees in areas that have been affected by wildfires. 25 of those were in California. 50,000 of those were in British Columbia. But yeah, we want to continue, and I think our plan is to plant another 20,000 or more trees next year.
Okay.
In areas that are affected by wildfires. So yeah, we love to be part of that cause. It's very, very close to home for us, and I think the consumer can also understand it and see it, you know, with the global map that we can share. You know, and know that every purchase that they make of a product from Marley goes to help in planting trees, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, you kind of stole my next question about the California wildfires.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if you need more details on that, I think Christelle was happy to share kind of the plans we have for 2019. We have quite a few projects planting trees all over, California being one of the bigger projects, Ethiopia, Rwanda, Kenya, Ghana, Haiti, Colorado, India, Vietnam, Guatemala, Brazil, Oregon, to name a few.
Yeah, so, I think if you could send some information our way after the interview, that would be great, because I think that's, you know, you guys are a tech company, but I think it resonates with our readers when we see real world results from guys like you and House of Marley and what they're doing and moving forward.
I could send that along, Andrew.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks, Matt. I guess one of my wrap up questions really is, how much is Rohan I don't know, involved in the process from day to day on products and, you know, what's coming next? And does he have final say mm-hmm. on what something looks like? Or, you know, how's that work for him as really the face of the company?
Yeah, I've actually spent quite a bit of time with Rohan over the, you know, my tenure here. I've been with the company about 4.5 years, and I've had several meetings with Rohan. I always catch up with him at CES as well, and I've flown up to New York and hung out at his house, and I've talked with him at events that he's at. So we always share ideas. You know, he gives me ideas about what he would like. You know, obviously we aligned with the family, have to be very transparent on what we do with them. So, you know, we work with their agency as well as, you know, Ron and Sadella, and make sure that they are aware of what we're doing, and have a say in it. So yes, they are involved.